And our next speaker is Olga Walsh, Effective Nitrogen Sources Rates and Application Time on Spring Wheat, Grain Yield, and Protein. Olga.
Good afternoon, and thank you for sticking around for this session. I just wanted to quickly explain. I moved on from Montana State University, but I am presenting today the 3 years of data that was collected at North Central Montana region. So I recently moved to the University of Idaho and will be working on cropping systems there. So the background for the study, when I started with Montana State University, I first wanted to kind of get the feel for the region and for the cropping challenges and get the feel for the soil and with response to nitrogen applications. So that was one of the very first studies that we established the first year I was there. And so obviously the spring wheat is one of the most important crops there, and it's about 50-50 now with the winter wheat, and overall wheat production is represents almost 25% of all Montana ag revenue. And so there is obviously a need to improve and continue to improve nutrient management strategies. So it was a straightforward study to determine the effects of nitrogen fertilizer sources, rates, and application time to see its effect on spring wheat yield and grain protein content. Of course, in Montana, especially in spring wheat, is very crucial to look at both. And so that's what we wanted to do here. And first of all, just a quick overview of what kind of soil we're dealing with in that region. So we do have these experiments were set up on SCOBY, which is Montana State soil. And it's a very widespread soil and covers over 700,000 acres, especially in north central part of Montana. And it's formed in glacial till and under prairie. And so these studies were located in north central Montana and within the Golden Triangle, the prime region for spring wheat and winter wheat production. So the triangle name comes from, it's basically a triangle between Hoover, Conrad, and Great Falls, and has perfect conditions for growing exceptional quality wheat. So the soil, this is the typical soil. We don't always have those three very defined, and also we don't always have it going to 4 feet, but this is what the typical SCOBY soil is like. And the precipitation and temperatures are pretty much right on the spot here. And in our area, we usually get about between 9 and 12, maybe 13 inches of rain, so it's pretty close. So moving on to the methods, this is about 75% to 80% of all wheat in that region is dry land production. So we had three dry land locations. One was at the station, the Western Triangle Ag Research Center in Conrad, and two were with working with the cooperating growers in two adjacent counties. So we had 5 by 25 feet or 1.5 and 7.6 meters plots, and we used one of the most popular spring wheat varieties in the area, which was actually developed right there, not far from the station, about half an hour from the station. And so we had four pre-plant rates, and when I say pre-plant, actually they were applied at the time of the seeding. It just stuck with me still from Oklahoma, and I'm just keep calling it pre-plant, but keep in mind we were applying these nitrogen rates with the seed or at the time of seeding. So then we had also three top dress rates, and so we used two top dress nitrogen sources, so granular urea and liquid urea ammonium nitrate. So the top dress was applied at two different times, before and after flowering, and we just we went with about 75% flowering. It was kind of challenging. The weather was very interesting at the time, especially the last 2 years. So we tried to do our best to go out as soon as we could once we saw 75% flowering. So the urea was manually broadcasted, and the UAN was applied foliar using a backpack sprayer the first year, and the two last year, the two next years, we used an ATV mounted sprayer, and we used fan nozzles. So we, in that area, mainly growers don't like to use fan nozzles. They want to be more efficient and do not use too much water to dilute the fertilizers. So they usually use stream bars, but we really wanted to go with this because there is also another component to the study, evaluating burn, leaf burn on the wheat. So we really wanted to use the fan nozzles, and the fertilizer tax committee that funded the study, they went ahead and, you know, they agreed with us that let's test this as well. And so we had four applications for each treatment, and we evaluated the treatment effect of pre-plant nitrogen rate, top dress, nitrogen source, also rate and application time. And we looked at yield and grain protein. And so the first year we still had our old combine, and we had to collect by plot yields and weigh everything by hand. And the second year we had a very nice setup that allowed us to very quickly harvest the plots, and we also had the moisture and test weight collected this way. So the only thing we did was then send it for protein analysis. So quickly, this is a summary of treatment structure. So you can see we had so all the at seeding, nitrogen was applied as urea with the seed at the time of planting. And then we had different top dress rates, 45 or 90 kilograms. And so, like I mentioned before, two sources, urea and UAN, and before and after flowering. And then the last column shows the total nitrogen applied. So I want to quickly go to results. This is a grain yield result, and you can see for 3 years, and we did lose our first year, we lost one of the locations. So there's only two 2011 and three for the last 2 years. So you can see there's not much difference in yield associated with the treatments. And the two treatments, two different types of treatments here we're looking at this slide, is pre-plant nitrogen rate. And at the bottom we have top dress nitrogen source. So if you look at the specifically just the yield, there was not much of significant difference here. The red ones are the only ones that were any different, and you can see that that was actually, the differences were actually between the non-fertilized and fertilized. So when I saw this first year, I said, okay, let's continue and see what happens the second year. So exactly the same year results the second year. And of course, we wanted to continue with the third year just to make sure, and pretty much very stable. And we had higher yielding sites, lower yielding sites. So it's, you know, I actually was happy to see that it continued over 3 years. At least we have a trend to talk about. So on the next slide, we have also grain yield, and we have the effects of top dress rate and top dress nitrogen time. Again, there's no differences if you just look at the yield. And so that was very interesting to show this data to growers, and some of them walked out, but please don't walk out, I have something else to talk about. So this is, of course, talk associated to those presenting this data to growers, and we're talking about the Montana State University guidelines for nitrogen application, and it was very interesting because actually our rates in this study were used according to those guidelines, and so they were saying, so why are we applying these rates if there's no response to anything? And so it's very interesting. So anyway, the grain yield conclusions is that basically the rate of at seeding nitrogen fertilizer affected spring wheat grain yield, but only in 4 out of 8 set years was significant. There was no difference at all in top dress nitrogen applied broadcasted urea or foliarly applied UAN in yield. And also the rates were the same if we applied it right before seeding, right before flowering and after flowering. And that's a very interesting result, because in Montana there's a lot of talk going on about increasing yield if urea, liquid urea or urea ammonium nitrate is applied right at seed, right at flowering time or right after flowering. And so actually we didn't see any differences between times of application here. And so it's been reported in literature that actually that the later timings may be better for improving yield of protein, but the growers actually came to us and said, we don't see that much in our results unless you apply extremely high rate, and sometimes it's not beneficial anyway, it's not very efficient. So so far I only showed you what the applied rates were, and this actually shows total nitrogen for all of the site years that we had. So we have spring wheat grain yield in bushels, apologize for bushels. and at the bottom we have the actual total nitrogen. So what was in the soil plus what was applied total at seeding and top dress mid-season. So you can see we had quite a range of rates, I mean, quite a range of yields, and also what I'm trying to say is that completely different nitrogen requirements would be here if you look at these different site years, and we repeated it 3 years, so it's very interesting. I'm kind of trying to get at the fact that even though we do have these guidelines developed, you know, at every university, still the requirements of the crop still change year to year, and we need to, instead of just blindly following the guidelines, trying to accommodate those needs of the crop, especially at different sites. And so much of our work was done in trying to accommodate those nitrogen requirements for wheat. So now I just wanted to quickly show you the protein results, and so at least something, I finally have to show you that was significant, and this is very important for growers. So we were able to increase, significantly increase grain protein content, and using UAN application. So UAN was much better than dry granular urea, and even though we did not apply much water, it was almost straight UAN. We did not see any burn or any kind of damage, and we still had higher protein. So in 7 out of 8 site years, the UAN performed much better. And I'm almost done, and I want to quickly move to this. So our current Montana recommendations stand as this. So the 3.3 pounds of nitrogen is needed to produce about a bushel of wheat. So I have in parentheses, it's in the kilograms or in kilograms of wheat for those. And so these guidelines were developed many, many years ago, and although growers do use them sometimes, many of them are not. And they're saying that they see that they're over-applying nitrogen year after year, and they're trying to come to us and say we need to reevaluate these guidelines. And so I'm not making a recommendation right now. We have to cut the nitrogen recommendations by half or by one third. But what we've seen just in my time being there since 2010, we consistently saw about 1.6 or 1.8 pounds of nitrogen were actually needed to optimize yield. And this was done with many, many, so the data was evaluated from many studies, including our varieties, so that have a huge variety of, huge range of different types of varieties that are grown in the area, and that was very consistent. And also, actually, a couple of farmers came to me, and they said that, well, we actually produced 30 pounds So what I'm trying to say, this is a dry land area, and they produced 30 bushels per acre spring wheat, and they applied only 30 pounds, and they only had about 15 or 20 pounds in the soil. And so I think that we really do need to look at the guidelines and reevaluate those. And I would like to help all my support staff and Montana Fertilizer Tax Advisory Committee for the funding. Thank you.